Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I mean, statistically, I think I'm making the right move. Let me see if Ira Winterman agrees. Ira Winterman is powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Call 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733. Ira, foolish or wise of me not to bother with this Mega Millions nonsense?
Well, considering that I have a ticket. You know what? There's not a lot of chances in life when at least you can fantasize for the period between when you go in to buy the ticket and the final numbers are drawn and say to yourself, when else, Donna, with the rest of your life, can you say to yourself this? What would I do with $900 million? So you know what? I figured this. For $2, I got to fantasize for about 20 hours. So it is absolutely all good, and the fact that I'm going to have a skating rink in my house in Weston, I have no issue whatsoever, and that I'm actually scheduling a Rangers preseason game for my house,
yes.
I think it's all good.
So do you know what time they stopped selling tickets, Ira? Because what do they do? They're drawing at like 11, but what time do they stop selling them? Do you know?
I don't know, honestly. I think like I know on Saturdays and Wednesdays, I think it's an hour before 10, but I'm not sure. Who knows what's going to go on with the computers right now when it's a situation like this.
I think Biff knows something.
They stopped selling them at 10:45 Eastern.
Okay. Oh, so I can actually make it unless the Panthers go to like a 20-round shootout. I can actually do this.
Or at least you could have maybe your wife get it.
Yeah, but she's watching the kid. I don't know. I don't want to burden her with that. But
I could have come on like a smart aleck and said you got a better chance of winning than the Panthers have of beating my Rangers. But I've seen my Rangers this year, and that's not true.
I want to circle back to that in a couple minutes, sure. But I do want to burden you with some basketball questions first. So just 3 games into this thing, Ira. I mean, so far this looks like the same Heat team. It's going to have to fight tooth and nail for even a playoff spot. But am I getting a realistic look at this team, or can we not really pass judgment until they get healthier because they're so banged up?
It's not looking like the same Heat team until it gets a chance to look like the same Heat team. Tomorrow I'm expecting Justice Winslow back. Spoke to him at practice today. He seems optimistic. Eric Spoelstra did. James Johnson returned to practice. He's not as close. Wayne Ellington looks a little bit iffy. So until I see Justice and James Johnson and Wayne Ellington and Deion Waiters, who probably still is weeks away, you don't know what the internal sort of growth is, but the reality is these guys have not played preseason together, let alone regular season, with 3 starters potentially in Justice, James Johnson, and Deion Waiters. So it's really on hold. The Heat are really treading water. What I don't like is this. They're in the middle of a stretch right now where I'm looking at it about 7 of the next 11 games that started on Saturday at home. This is when you've got to make hay in the NBA, and instead, bad loss to a Charlotte team on Saturday. Can't afford to lose to the Knicks tomorrow, so they have to find a way, even with all these injuries. It's just crazy, Donald, because I heard the start of your show, and between the Dolphins and the Canes and the Heat, just these injuries are absolutely ridiculous. We don't know what our teams look like because we haven't had a chance in recent games.
Now, Ira, Pat Riley told the team last week that he was pulling the plug on the Jimmy Butler talks. Now, did he say that just because that needed to be said at that time? Could these talks reopen, or is that plug pulled forever?
The talks will absolutely have to reopen because Glenn Taylor told Jimmy Butler that we will work on a trade for you. Well, if Minnesota's working on a trade, they've got to call someone. The Heat's one of 29 other teams, so I'm sure there will be discussion, so I think it will come back. I think it's almost interesting what Minnesota is doing is they're saying, who's going to get desperate? And who knows? Maybe the Heat will get desperate. So if the offer right now is, just for argument's sake, what we've heard mostly lately, Josh Richardson, Kelly Olynyk, and some sort of protected first-round pick, could it reach a point where Minnesota goes, give us a little bit more? And the Heat realize, well, we have to give you a little bit more. And maybe that's where we are. Or maybe for Minnesota it gets ugly and desperate, and they go the other way. I mean, I think Heat fans almost have to be anti-Timberwolves fans now because you want the Timberwolves to get antsy. Instead, last night they had a very impressive victory over the Indiana Pacers. So So this is going to go back and forth for a while.
You know, we always talk about, Ira, how, you know, the Heat need a superstar, at least more all-star caliber players. I mean, do you think Josh Richardson is and could be that, Ira? Because that seems to me like one of the most polarizing topic among Heat fans is what you really think the ceiling is on Josh Richardson.
Well, and I'd go to the Wayback Machine, and I'd want to hear Chicago talk radio 3 years into Jimmy Butler's career and wondering if they thought that he could be a superstar. You know, there are guys who were drafted as stars, and that's what they are. You know, the Dwaynes, the Bosches, the LeBrons, guys like that. You just know. Anthony Davis, guys like that. And there are other guys who emerge as stars. Damian Lillard, a C.J. McCollum that he'll see this Saturday. Guys who all of a sudden, given time, you realize, whoa, that guy's pretty good. That's who Jimmy Butler was. He developed into an NBA star, not necessarily NBA star pedigree when he was drafted by the Bulls. So I think it's a similar case with Josh Richardson, and it's a case of how much patience do you have? We know Heat fans have no patience. Most teams, fans for their home teams don't. They want to win now. They want to win yesterday. They want to win tomorrow. So that's what Pat Riley sort of has to balance, that before Jimmy Butler started, this was all about wait till 2020, make your move then, hopefully with enough for two maximum salary cap slots. And then the Jimmy Butler thing started and it changed all the thinking. I think Pat has to temper that a little bit if it means giving up too much. Is Josh Richardson going to be a superstar? I don't know. But I do know this, and it's kind of interesting. If Josh Richardson thought he was going to be a superstar, he would not have taken a four-year, $42 million salary, which is crazy as it sounds. By the time it's over,
he'll
be below the average salary in this league.
Jeez.
So I thought that's a little telling. The Heat did not offer him superstar money, so they obviously had a certain thought also. So it'll be interesting. I'm not overstating Josh Richardson. I wouldn't want to trade him. I can understand how you would have to trade him.
Now, Ira, your take on the Heat defensively so far, giving up 109 points per game. They're 10th or 11th in the league based on which metrics you look at. But scoring is up league-wide so far, right?
Yeah, the scoring is not only up league-wide, it's ridiculous. You can't play defense, you can't breathe on someone. Matter of fact, I don't know if people have noticed this. When you turn on your NBA games and the game starts, it's like both teams have 30 points already.
Right.
It's like they start the games at 30-30.
I just thought I was tuning in late. I didn't realize that 30 points are just on the board.
That's how it is. It's almost like you're spotting the other team the vigor, or extra points, or that's what the line is. I know people like high scores. I get that. But you see some of the scores, I know it went overtime last night, but even that Lakers-Spurs game, when you see those numbers in the 140s at the end of games, it does seem a bit extreme. And Eric Spoelstra had a really good point in practice yesterday. He said you no longer can leave players in and take chances with two fouls in the first quarter or three in the first half because the whistles are so frequent that all of a sudden the old, just let him be safe on defense doesn't apply anymore because you might actually breathe on the guy who has the ball in his hands.
You mentioned the Lakers' overtime loss. They're off to a winless start, Ira, LeBron and company. Now, I get it. It's too early to wave the panic flag, but is it fair to say that roster may be flawed?
Yeah, and they know it, and LeBron knows it, and this is LeBron's gap year, and he's doing his Hollywood productions, and he's in bed with HBO, and he's taking care of all of that. And once they added Rondo and Beasley and JaVale McGee and Lance Stephenson, he knew this wouldn't be the year. They couldn't get him a running partner this year, so he's setting up next year. So LeBron will say all the right things. The Lakers probably, not definitely, will make the playoffs. They'll probably go out in the first round of the playoffs. And LeBron, for the first time, won't have to play basketball in May and in June for the first time in 9 years. That'll set up next year. That'll set up the restart. This year, they're going to sell all the tickets anyway at Staples Center because LeBron is the year. Next year, to me, is the year they really make their change.
Yeah, I was looking at something, and this kind of ties into the Lakers a bit. And just for those listening, no, Eric Spoelstra is not on this list. But I see these odds, Ira, odds for the first NBA coach to be fired. You always see a few coaches fired during the season. Luke Walton is the leader in the clubhouse there, plus 175. Then you've got Tom Thibodeau at plus 200. Fred Hoiberg, I'm not even sure how that guy's still employed, at plus 500. Billy Donovan, plus 750. Then you've got Scott Brooks, Dave Yeager, Terry Stotts, Tyronn Lue rounding off that list. Do you agree? Who do you think could be the first to go?
I have Scott Brooks at the top of that list.
Wow.
I mean, Washington, I don't know what they are, but they have to do something, and they really haven't. I can't see the Lakers firing Luke Walton because, look, LeBron sort of tried with Bumpgate to get Eric Spoelstra fired. That never happened. It took LeBron over a season to get rid of David Blatt in Cleveland. So it's not like LeBron means instant death to a coach just when you're struggling. I don't see the Lakers and Magic Johnson panicking like that. So I think it's more of a team that is underachieved in recent years, and sort of this is their make-or-break moment. And I really put right now Washington in the Eastern Conference in particular in that mode of a team that hasn't changed coaches recently but has to get more out of their team. If they don't win a first-round series, no matter where they finish, I think it's going to be a time for a change there. That would be my leader in the clubhouse at the moment.
Ira, tonight on the ice, this has got to be a little conflicting for you because you love the Florida Panthers, but you're a lifelong New York Rangers fan. Who do you think comes out on top tonight?
Well,
and of course, it's got to be the Panthers.
I won't even sit with the Rangers jersey tonight out of deference to the Panthers in case neighbors have cameras somewhere shooting the house while we're watching the game. The Rangers are terrible, and the Panthers, I just don't know. It's just unfathomable. They lost to the Red Wings. No one loses to the Red Wings.
Right.
I mean, they've got to do something with the goaltending. They've got to, you know, I can have all the faith in the world in Roberto Luongo and what he's done, and I appreciate that. I never felt that comfortable with Reimer, and I know Dale Tallon said they felt they had a two-headed monster and that Reimer can give him 30 games. He's been shaky. Hutchinson's not an answer there. It's not the best time to trade for a backup goalie, but I think they have to make a move like that because this probably won't be the last absence for Roberto this season also. I think there has to be a little bit more there. The defense has not been great. I know they're shaking up the pairings. I guess we'll get a different look tonight with my former Ranger favorite, Keith Yandel, to see what happens with those units. But to me, it's just about the goaltending. I love their young, skilled players. I still think the Panthers, much more than the Rangers, are a team on the rise. But you got to cover yourself on that back line on defense. You've got to cover yourself in the goal. And I don't see that getting better anytime soon.
You know, staying on New York for a second, but sure. I do have another basketball question for you, Heat-Knicks related. I saw the great piece that you wrote in the Sun Sentinel about Spoelstra and David Fizdale's relationship. Of course, all the years they spent together in Miami, starting, you know, late in that 90s rivalry between the Heat and the Knicks. Of course, Fizdale, now the head coach in New York. Clearly, that creates a compelling storyline, the coaching matchup, Ira, but what's it going to take to have really compelling basketball again between the Heat and Knicks? Because just reading your piece and thinking back to those days, even though the Heat usually came up on the short end of those playoff series with the Knicks, I miss that rivalry. I miss those series. I miss that basketball.
I think the Knicks are actually a little bit closer, just not this year, because I think the fact they have Porzingis, who might miss the whole season after last year's knee surgery, but I think eventually he's going to come back. So if Kevin Knox turns around, that's what they're doing. They're getting cap space, and they're getting young players. I think with the Heat, it might be a little bit longer of a road. They haven't identified their superstar of the future. The Knicks can say Porzingis, build around him. The Heat, you look at this roster. We talked about this at the top of the call. I don't know if I can say I'm building around Josh Richardson or anyone else on this roster. So it's weird. This season, I think the Heat could finish 20 games better than New York. But when you talk about futures of franchises, I'm not so sure that the Knicks aren't actually better positioned than the Heat. So I think the Heat will be playing catch-up eventually. You want to get your leading man. The Knicks have their leading man. The Heat don't. That's a concern.
Ira Winderman does excellent work covering the Miami Heat and the NBA. And, of course, we talk hockey. We talk John Bones Jones with this guy. He covers it all for the South Florida Sun Sentinel on Twitter at Ira Heatbeat. Ira is powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney. Call 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733. Ira, thank you so much. Enjoy the game tonight.
My pleasure. Go both teams. Thank you, Donna.
Way to straddle that fence.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.